terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Shagmar did nothing for his stick, if I'm going to put it like that. It's just given by God. You don't do the right stuff to get a gift. Now, I grew up in a denomination, that ain't the case. You had to do a certain right, then it was a particular gift that God would give you if you did the right thing. And that's not a gift then. It's not grace gift anyway. When I do something to earn that, it's just God in His sovereignty, out of His grace, and all things work for the... Okay, so that means the gift He gave you is for what? You're good, but for His glory. I want to clarify that. But this, wait, were you sure about that? You ever anybody read Fox's Book of Martyrs?
Yeah.
Kathy nods. Okay. It's a story. It's a book put together of people that have been martyred for the cause of Christ through history, way back in history, all right? And I'm going, wait a minute. That guy's gift didn't look good to me. They burnt him. They hung him. They beat him. Whatever it is. That's good for him? You mean leaving people in the land's good for Israel? You mean being oppressed is good for Israel? I don't know about that. But if we, the place you really got to go, and you heard me talk about the kids, and you've heard it a bunch of times, okay? In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this guy, this landowner. He's going to leave, and he gives each of his guys some talent. Now, that's money, all right? In their day, we refer to it as talents and gifts and abilities today because that's what the parable's really all about. But don't confuse the word talent here with the talent that you might have. He actually gives them some coins. One guy five, one guy two, and one guy one. Right? Most of you know this story. All right? And so, well, he goes and he comes back and the guys have to give an account. And the one guy has five, he's doubled it. The one guy has two, he's doubled it. But the one guy had one buries his. Okay? Now, what is interesting to me, to the guy had five and the guy had two, okay, I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Both get the same reward. Well, wait a minute. One guy gave back 10. The other guy only gives back 4. Okay? But they get the same reward even though they got different gifts. Even though they got a different... My son-in-law, he plays 10 musical instruments. I have a hard enough time playing the radio. Okay? He has a different gifts than I got. But I'm not accountable to God for His gifts. If I'm a steward with what God's given me, and Derek's a steward with what God gave him, we get the same reward. I'm glad I don't have his gifts. Because then I'd be accountable to do something with all those instruments I could play. But I can't, so I don't have to worry about it. All I have to do is take what God, if it's a stick or a two-edged sword, that's all. All I'm concerned is what do I do with my stick? And I get the same reward the guy who had a two-edged sword. Okay? But watch this. This disturbs us. This bothers us in our culture, particularly if you're on a certain political slant. I'll just leave it like that. Okay? The guy who has the one, who doesn't do it, he buries it. He's disciplined verbally, I'll put it like that, by the master and says this, take away the talent from him. You took that away. Matter of fact, take them all and distribute among everybody, right? No, take it away, the guy has the one, and give it to the one who has 10. Now, there's a certain political party, you'd have a hard time with that. Right? They would say, take from the 10 and divvy it up equally. Because they don't operate under kingdom principles. All right? For to everyone who has, more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But the one from the one who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. That doesn't fly in our culture. But the kingdom's different. The guy who's faithful. Now, let's assume I'm a broker, stock market investor broker. Okay? I wish I had the money to invest with Warren Buffett, one of the richest men on the planet. Why would I give him more? He's got enough. Because he's proven himself a steward of what's given him. What's the name? What's the name of his? Berkshire Hathaway. Go try to buy one share in that. Trust me, you can't afford it. Why? Because he takes it and he multiplies it. It earns money. You won't go to a brokerage firm that doesn't make a lot. God says, look, I know where to put my stuff with those who produce. With what they didn't get to start with that I gave them anyway, that I'm the one that does it through them anyhow, that's the difference. The guy with 5 and 2 recognized I'm the one that does it in them. And so their faith was in me as I did. The other guy had no faith in himself or me. Matter of fact, it says, I know you're a shrewd master. I know where you reap where you didn't sow. He hasn't realized the one he got wasn't his. Who sowed it? The master. What do you mean, the guy who reaps and he doesn't sow? Where'd you get the talent from anyway? We got to recognize that each one of us has been getting, and we will be held accountable for what we do with what we were given, not what someone else was given. We get the same rewards in the area of gifts and talents, abilities. You got that? Now I'm going to throw at you the parable of the minas. Okay, many people confuse the two. Okay, so now we're over in Luke 19, all right? He's got 10 servants. He gives every one of the servants the same thing. Compare, contrast. Those of you who had been to college or other places, you had to compare and contrast, right? All right, and you probably hated those when the teacher said, compare and contrast and write an essay on this, right? So let's compare and contrast. Parable of the talents. Everybody gets a different thing and a different amount, if you will, okay? Parable of the minas, everybody gets the same amount. You got that. So he gives them out to 10 fellows. Two of them, one fellow turns that one mina into 10, and the other guy turns that one mina into 5. I'm going to reiterate. I know I'm being over here. Different. You got different amounts. Same reward. Over here, you get the same amount, different rewards. Did you catch me? Did you see the compare and contrast? You got it? So when we get to the guy at 10, he says, oh, great job. You were faithful with little. You'll be ruler over much, and I will make you rule over 10 cities. Equal to what he did with it. Same way with the guy that did 5. He gets 5 cities to rule over. That kind of thing. Now watch in verse 24, 25 of Luke 19. Now you'll see something where we compare. They're similar. Okay. Then he said to the bystanders, take away the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said, like we would, Master, he already has 10. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. For these are enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them. Bring them here and slay them in my presence. Ow! How many versions of the Bible you have? Uh-oh. There's a guy over here with 1. All or none. That's all he's held accountable for. How much are you held accountable for? See, I'm held to a different standard what I do with my 5 versions. With commentaries. Or with whatever. And if you've downloaded eSword, which I've given it out to all you at where had their conference last year, with its commentaries and its cross-references and all of that, How are you doing with that? Are you stewarding that well? Okay. Now, I'm going to give you what's the difference between the talents and the minus. The talents God gives you as an individual. Yours are distinct and even than mine. But when it comes to the minor, what have we all been given, everybody that knows the master at all, and I don't know necessarily in an intimate sense, we've all been given the same gospel. That is the same. There's only one gospel. There's only one Savior, Redeemer, one cross. We all get the same thing. What we do with that, we get rewarded differently. I don't have to worry about whether my talents meet up to yours. Whether I can accomplish with my abilities and the things that God has given me in that sense, I don't have to worry if they meet up with. What I do have to be concerned with is God gave me the gospel. What do I do with it? There the rewards change. This is why you see of those 10, okay, of those 10, we don't hear of 7. Those guys get slaughtered. They're people that heard the gospel and never even bothered. But there are others who heard the gospel and really took it in there. What are you doing with the gospel you've been given? Statistically, I can tell you. Statistically, most evangelical Christians, when I mean most, I mean up there in the 96th percentile, never share the gospel and lead one person to Christ, not one, in their lifetime. I don't care if you can sing, you can dance, you can play an instrument, whether you can write, well, that's all the talent side. But we've all been given that same stick. What are you going to do with that stick? The gospel, that you, the grace that you've been given through that gospel, through the work of Jesus Christ, what have you done with that? It doesn't matter if you've got the right name, whether you're Jewish or Mesopotamian, it doesn't matter. God put these guys in these places at these times, and they saw the wicked and responded. But, you know, it's just easier to stay home. I don't mean going to church. I mean, it's easier not to confront the wicked. Try it at work and see how well that goes. There's going to be obstacles to both using your gifts, talents, and abilities and sharing the gospel of Christ. You use one to do the other. But anyhow, but let's get real. God can give you gifts and abilities. You make an income on that, can't you? Right? You got great administrative skills? Somebody will pay you for that. Musical skills? Somebody pays you for that. Young people, most of the time, they ain't going to pay you to play video games. That's not a talent. That don't count. Very few. Very few. Yeah, but I know a guy, and he makes $1 million a year playing video games. Yeah, he's one guy. Out of 7 million people on the planet. Sorry about that commercial. The other thing you got to recognize about gifts and abilities, they're expected to be developed. How do I know this? Because Paul says to Timothy, fan the flame of the gift that is in you. See, we sit around and wait for it to just sort of come out. Like, here it is. The only way you're going to share the gospel is, guess what? Pick it up, fan the flame, see how it goes. It might be a small flicker to start with. You might blow your own match out, in my little analogy here. It may not go well. But listen, Timothy, fan the flame. You got to do something to bring the gift alive and up. Well, I'm not a worshiper. I know that. I understand that. Would you fan the flame? I'm not a prayer person. I understand. Fan the flame. I'm not a Bible guy. That's okay. Fan the flame. It's weird. You'll first start reading the Bible, and you'll go, I don't get it. I tried. I read 12 chapters last week, Pastor, and it's like, woohoo, right over my head. I'm not sure what that meant to me because this guy begat this guy begat this guy. And these people took over that guy. And then they had these funny rules about how to dress. I don't get it. Keep fanning the flame. That's how you do it. But man, when I tried to pray, I tried to pray for my wife. Come on, guys, that's got to be one of the most difficult, uncomfortable things to pray with your wife when you first start. Why? Because she knows what you really are. You're talking to God after you just acted like a jerk all day. So it's hard. When you first, and many of us just give up. You tried it for a couple times. It's so uncomfortable. It's just, okay. Keep fanning the flame, and you'll find out prayer gets easier. Not easier. Better. Here's why. Because who has some? I'll take more and give it to them. That's the principle. You don't, you know, don't worry about it. You just do with what you got. I add to it. You just do the thing, and I'll take and add to you. The more you put into the Bible reading, the more you put into prayer. By the way, prayer's for you, not God. You can't manipulate God with your prayers if you have enough faith. He already knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. Okay? So he knows it transforms you. Sort of like having people living in the land, which was difficult, like prayer can be sometimes. Fan the flame. You got to do it. We keep waiting for the right something to happen. Wait a minute. Isn't there enough wickedness in front of you? Aren't there enough Philistines and Moabites and Mesopotamians? Aren't there enough of those already? You have to go find more? I know. I've gone to meddling, huh? So you gotta do something to fan the flame. Develop that. And you got to remember this. It's all for the glory of God. This guy gets one line. A nobody with a stick. Right. Yeah. You know who's got to get the glory now, then, don't you? Because one got a nobody with a stick does nothing. But a nobody with a stick with God can do all things through him who gives him. Yeah, okay. It's all for the glory of God. Matter of fact, if we kept reading in 1 Peter when he says to each one's been given a gift in chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And whoever serves as one who serves by the strength of God that supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the dominion forever." Wait, God's going to empower you. Why? So you can be all that in a bag of chips too? No, he's doing it so he receives the glory, because all you are is a nobody with a stick. Moses was a nobody with a stick. I don't know how, they don't ever believe me. What do you have, Moses? Stick. Throw it on the ground. See what I can do with a stick. Every man of God you've ever read about anywhere is just an idiot with a stick. And I say it like that on purpose, because it's God that makes something out of it. But here's the other point is that you're supposed to use the gift for the common good, not promotion of self. And each one has been given a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. I've learned to recognize this. When I was in pastoral ministry, not even early, into it a little bit, it bugged me because I could never be Randy. I'd go to lunch with you, I'd come to your house, and all I ever got was 50 Bible questions, 7 things to pray for. Hey, can't I just be a guy? No, I can't. Because God didn't give me the gift for me. He gave me what I have. He gave it to me. Okay? Yeah, I did some fanning, but he gave it to me. I recognize this. Most of y'all, whether it's on radio or sitting here, we love you, Pastor. No, you don't. You don't know me. You haven't seen me sitting around the house, my hair messed up, my sweat's on, and smelling ripe. Okay? When I'm sick and I have the flu, you're not there. When I'm grumpy and mean, when I haven't got enough sleep, and my kid said amen. You love the gift God gave me. And I recognize the only reason I have it is to give it to you. So tap it anytime. This is why I don't do some things that I do things in my life, because I got to be ready in season and out of season. I got to be able to give every man an answer for the hope. Whenever it happens, whenever the Philistines show up, whenever they do, I got to be ready, because he gave it to me so I can give it away. That's the point. By doing that, he gets the glory, and then he says, oh, you know what? Since you were faithful that, let me give you more. That's a problem. Wait a minute, God. More. you know, if I read the Bible, then I'll understand it and you'll expect me to do something with it. So it's better to stay ignorant. Well, wait a minute. If I actually practice how to share the gospel of Christ, then I might have to do that. Let me just stay ill-equipped. That's the difficulty. The guy who got 10 just got another one. You know what he's expected to do with that 11th one, in you? Turn it into a 12th one. Yeah. Wait, see, with every gift, like every calling, comes with a new burden. I don't like new burdens, thanks. I have enough, thank you. Come on, you're there. All right? Those of you that have maybe more than 3 or 4 kids, right? Number 4, number 5 comes along. Yay! Wow, I realize what this is going to cause. And I don't mean money. Just the work effort, right, Heather? To add another one. But they're blessings, aren't they? Every blessing comes with a new burden. Let me put it where you probably heard it. Every level comes with a new devil. Okay? See, God, in conclusion, I actually said that. Usually I don't, because then you expect me to stop, see, if I don't say conclusion. No. Anyway, God gave each of us gifts. And he wants to have himself work through you with them. That's his desire. He didn't give them to you. He gave them to you not for just random, so he can use them for his glory. You will find no greater joy. You thought when you came to Christ and he regenerated you, you thought that was something. Wait till you're handing out Bibles in a Muslim country. Then you'll understand what joy is. Really? Wait until that uncle who didn't want to increase mocked you all of his life in any religion, and he's on his deathbed dying of cancer, and finally all those years, you shall say Christ with him. He says, yeah, I think I'll like that. Watch joy. When you get to be used by God with the things he's given you, when he works through you, when you've made yourself available, what wonder that is, even if you're a nobody with a stick. And one runner says, God doesn't remove the difficulty when you become obedient. Use me. Okay, Philistines. Oh, no. I said use me. I didn't say send Philistines. I just give me a nice audience that wants to hear what I want to say. Give me something that's appreciative of all I give to the system. You know, the much I care. And come on, you have kids, right? Your kids are always telling you, Mom, how great you are for all you do, right? Okay, and that's just a very natural example. God doesn't remove that. Okay, it's there to help you even more so. Okay, and then I want you to recognize this. Everybody doesn't get to be the hero. One guy just goes over, beats up the Philistines, and he don't get to judge. Wait a minute, who's still in charge? He's got the title, the position. He's the one, 80 years. Ooh, look at that guy. Shamgar. He beats up 600 Philistines. Goodbye, see you later. We never hear from you again. Yeah. Too often, we want God to use us if our name goes up in lights. Too often will be used if somebody will come along and pat you on the back. Oh, what a great job, Glenn. Oh, God just uses you. It's just marvelous. You know what? 98% of the time, that don't happen. It's just like parenting. Come on. It ain't till they're 35 till they finally walk out a couple kids of their own and go, thanks, Dad. That just been 35 years and no pat on the back. That's what being used in ministry is really, really like. Trust me, I've been doing it for 29 years. That's what it's really like. Because you're doing it for the glory of God and to serve others, not to get their praise. Boy, Pastor, you make this sound exciting. I want to jump right into it. I know. You may not get praise of men. You may not get pat in the back. All you do is you empty the trash every week and nobody even notices. I don't know why I bother. In case you didn't know, somebody has to empty the trash in this building every week. One of us, in case you didn't know. Anybody know who does it? I can tell you when they're not here because I do it. Are they getting a pat on the back for that? Nope. Is it their stick? Sure. Who here can empty a trash can? I think we're all pretty much there. We can do that one. Sweep the floor? Pick up a chair. Now, not everybody can pick up one of these chairs. I understand that. You haven't been given that. But you understand, when you give it unto God, He's the one that gives it back and multiplies it in you, not the guy patting you on the back. Sure, as a pastor, I'll try to remember to thank you for taking out the trash. I really will, because I understand that helps. But that ain't why you're doing it. Simply because God, there's this thing, it's called the cross, grace. See, sometimes we love the grace so much, we forget how we got it. Yeah, we love the gift. By the way, the giver is always greater than the gift. Always. I'll leave that alone. I do it for you, Christ. I do it for you. I hold up the cross, not myself. Watch what'll happen in your life. Watch what'll change. As you say, I'll just do it, God, because it's a stick. Well, let me put it this way. It's a stick with a cross member I'll hold up. Just a piece of wood. Boy, what can a piece of wood do? Redeem mankind. Let's stand. Father, I recognize in this, the audience who's hearing by media or sitting here today, they often compare, well, what do I have? What can I? I understand that. God, I just pray that you'll let them recognize their stick. Whatever it is, God, just open their eyes to it and say, okay, God, I'll just obey. It may only be one stick. It might not be 10. But I'll use it for your glory. Father, and I ask this, Lord, that in their lives, your name would be lifted up. And the great name of God would be declared through broken people with sticks. I ask it, O Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.